If you can't have fun talking about God, then why talk about God? Now, that was a big workout. So what we need to do together is all together, I want us, don't get ahead of me, I want us to take in a deep breath, hold it for a second, and let it out through our mouth. You ready? Let it out. Now, as you were taking that breath, what was going through your mind other than, this guy's a freak? Probably 100 different things were going through your mind in that moment. But one thing I'd be willing to bet was not going through your mind at that moment. You were probably not thinking, all right, I need to allocate 6 million neurons on this part of my brain to send electrical impulses to my heart to keep my heart beating at a rate of 64 beats per minute so that the oxygen can be exchanged with carbon dioxide in my lungs. Wait, was anybody thinking that? My son Ethan was. I knew you were. The truth is that trillions of functions were going on inside of your body as you were taking in that life-giving breath. You can't really explain what just happened, but you can't live without it. And that's what Trinity is like. We can't explain Trinity, and yet it is the very air we breathe. Trinity is the deepest mystery of the universe. And so we are going to explore the deepest mystery of the universe in 15 minutes or less. Are you ready? Woo! We're going to go. Here we go. Why do we even talk about Trinity, first of all? Well, we talk about Trinity because we have a foundational belief that the Bible is true. And that the Bible does not contradict itself when it comes to the essence and nature of God. So, when we read the Bible, we see on the one side, we read verses like Deuteronomy 6:4, where it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There is only one God. The Bible teaches that. Now, I can wrap my head around one God. But then, when we come over here to the passages that we heard read earlier, Jesus says, I and the Father are one, and I will give you the Holy Spirit. And then in Romans 5, we heard about God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That sounds like three. So which is it? Are there three gods, or is there one God? The answer is yes and no. Now that we've cleared that up, the truth is, you can't explain it because there is nothing in the created universe that you can compare to. So we have to talk about it, though. We can't explain it, but we have to talk about it. So how do we talk about it? For hundreds and hundreds of years, people have been trying to talk about Trinity, and they've come up with all kinds of ideas and pictures, and they've all been wrong. But we have to have pictures. So there's two pictures that I kind of like to talk about Trinity. The first one is this one. It's the Celtic knot. It's coming. There we go. The Celtic knot. Celtic spirituality. Have you seen these Celtic knots? They come in all kinds of patterns. They're just weaving in and out. Celtic spirituality is really in tune with the mysterious nature of God and the universe. How everything is interwoven and moves in and out. Because when you look at these knots, you can't really tell where shapes begin and where they end. They move in and out. It's a beautiful thing. So that's a picture of Trinity. Now there's another picture of Trinity that comes from music. Scott's going to help us once again with this. It comes from the musical chord. Scott, I'd like you to play the note C. Well played. Now I'd like you to play the note E. Now I'd like you to play the note G. C, E, G, three separate notes. Now I would like you to play these three notes together. Trinity. You see how that works? A chord, a C chord, is a something, and yet it doesn't exist apart from the three separate notes. C, E, G, and the C chord, three in one. Thank you, Scott. Give Scott a big hand. He did such a fabulous job. Now, if you are an artist or a musician, you may have found those pictures interesting. But let's be honest. Are they really helpful to us? Because it really leaves us with a question. So what? Why do we care about Trinity? Why? It's such an abstract concept that I can't wrap my mind around. Why do I even talk about it? Well, today, I just want to share with you three practical lessons that I have learned from Trinity. The first lesson I've learned is that Trinity humbles us. I have a confession to make. I am a knowledge junkie. I love knowledge and information and learning. And for a long time in my life, I equated spiritual maturity with knowledge. And the more I knew about God, the more spiritual I was. And you remember what Francis Bacon said about knowledge? Knowledge is power. Well, he was right. Knowledge is power. But what do we know about power? Power corrupts. And knowledge junkies like me can easily fall into a serious trap. We can walk around in the guise of defending the truth, when in reality, what we're doing is keeping other people at bay so that we can maintain control. And God had to teach me a very difficult lesson about this. And whenever I feel tempted to fall into my knowledge junkie trap, I just remember Trinity. I can't explain it. I can't even begin. And so Trinity reduces me to the preschooler that I am. And God says to me, through some difficult lessons I had to learn this, God said to me, Steve, would you just keep your mouth shut for 1 minute and listen to somebody? Because everybody has something to say. And more importantly, everyone has a right to be heard. And even if I don't agree with you, I am called to love you enough to listen to you and learn from you. Because in the presence of Trinity, we're all just preschoolers. Trinity humbles us. Now, the second lesson I've learned from Trinity is that Trinity empowers prayer. Grab your Bibles, Romans 5, the passage we heard read earlier. Let's look at that again. Paul, as he's working through this letter to the Romans, he says, very important section, he says, therefore, in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what? What? Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. Now, I want to skip down to verse 5. We know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Now, let's look at that. This picture has helped me understand prayer. So let's take this. Let's first of all, let's say that this right here is the throne room of the Father. God the Father is the Almighty God, right? He's the creator of the universe. He's the all-powerful. He is perfection. Nothing sinful can enter into the presence of God. It just can't even exist. Almighty God the Father. And let's say that in this throne room, it's surrounded by this stone fortress around it. And we are outside of it. Unholy things going, I can't get out, let me in. That's where we are. God the Father. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father how? Except how? Through me. You see, Jesus is the door into the throne room of the Father. He opens up the presence of the Almighty to us. And so here I am standing in the presence of the Almighty God. And what do I do? I'm paralyzed by the presence of God. Just like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, when he was in the presence of the Almighty, he said, I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Then, from the throne of the Father, the breath of God, the sweet animating spirit of God flows around me, in me, and picks me up and carries me into the lap of the Father. Now, Paul in Romans, he goes on in chapter 5, 6, 7, and into chapter 8. Let's look what he says about the Holy Spirit in Romans 8, 26 and 27. He says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father who knows all hearts knows what the Spirit is saying. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. What do I do when I'm in the presence of God? I can't speak. And so the Spirit is holding me and he says, Father, what he's trying to say is, thanks. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit drawing us into presence. Now, some religions only focus on Father God, Almighty Ruler, justice, law, punishment. This is Allah. Other religions only focus on the Spirit, the ever-present animating life force of the universe. May the force be with you. This is pantheism and Eastern religion. They are both correct, but they are incomplete. Because what is missing in these pictures? Trinity, Jesus. Jesus bridges the gap between the transcendent Almighty God and the immanent Holy Spirit, between the God who is out there, so perfect, so other than us, and the God who is so in us we can't even see him as a person. And with Jesus, he bridges the gap and we can come into the presence of God in relationship. Trinity empowers our prayer. Now, there's one last lesson that I've learned from Trinity. Trinity invites us to dance. There is a concept from Greek Orthodox tradition that calls Trinity perichoresis. It's just a fun word to say, so say it with me. Perichoresis. It's a word, two parts, peri meaning around, geometry students, perimeter, around, and choresis, which is where we get the word choreography from, and it means to step. So when you step around something, what do we call it? Dance. God is dance. Now, I read this wonderful essay this week by Dr. Bill Long, and he said that perichoresis is like the Argentine tango. Ever seen the Argentine tango? He said every Latin woman knows that if you dance the tango with a man, you can tell within 30 seconds whether he'll make a good husband. Because the tango is so intense that it requires absolute focus on your partner. There is no room for showing off in the tango. Because the tango is two bodies so linked together that they're moving in perfect synchronicity that they are one. But you don't do tango without what? Music. These two bodies moving in step with the music, it is three in one. Trinity is a dance. Father, Son, and Spirit so intertwined that they move in and out of each other, three pieces as one. Now, Trinity isn't just a neat idea. Trinity Check this out. Trinity is the essence of life. Trinity, the community of God, the dance of God, created us in his image. Genesis 1:27 says, "And God created man in his image, male and female, he created them." The image of God. I am not created in the image of God. We are created in the image of God. It is our relationship with each other that is the image of God. Relationships. One of the greatest tragedies of the American dream is the idea of I. We were built on rugged individualism. It is my land, it is my rights, it is my life. And that idea has crept itself into our theology, to where salvation is about me. Jesus died for me. He is my personal Lord and Savior. Yes, but if that is all it is, that very same thinking can cause you, can lead you to push the other away from you. It can actually lead you to hurt others, even lead you to kill in the name of God. That is the opposite of what God wants. That is not why Jesus died. Jesus died to save us from that. Because we are created in God's image. Trinity calls us to dance. It calls us to focus on each other. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husbands. Families, move together as each unique part steps in harmony. Churches, step in harmony with each other. Nations, move in harmony with one another in the music of the Spirit of peace. Man and nature, step in harmony. So this week, who do you need to go to and say, "Forgive me, I have not been a good dance partner with you. Would you help me to learn how to listen to you so that I can learn how to step with you? I for you, you for me, and God for we." God, the Trinity, looks to each of us, looks to all of us, and says, "Shall we dance?" Amen. Let's stand.